Good morning, and welcome to Raise the Standard. I'm Michael Rapp in studio with my wife, Jean. We're from Brandywine Flags in the Marchwood Shopping Center in Exton, PA. And our guest today is Lieutenant Daniel Wilson, Navy SEAL retired. Dan served 22 years active service in the military. And Dan, we thank you so much for your service. And he is actually on the phone calling in from a remote location. And Dan is going to speak to us today about a book that he has written called The Ask Force. He's also going to speak relative to the military and some of the other experiences that he's had throughout his career. Dan, welcome to the show, and thank you again for your service.
Michael, it's a pleasure to be here on Raise the Standard with you and Jeannie. Thank you so much for this opportunity, and look forward to chatting with you.
Give me a little bit of an intro, if you would, on your career, kind of how you started out, and 22 years is a long time, and I know that you've been involved in some very difficult situations, but your faith has carried you through, and that's one of the things I know you wanted to talk about today.
Yep. Well, I'd be glad to do that. Actually, The Ask Force, the book that I had written about a year ago, actually published it a year ago, goes through most of my early career and the times that I had with the SEAL teams. I used some of the stories I had while I was with the teams throughout the book. I joined the Navy. I was 17 years and 28 days old when I raised my hand and committed myself to defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. And as you said, I had 22 years active duty. The first 10 were actually kind of a roller coaster ride. Being 17, obviously, I was an enlisted man. Joined the Navy with the intent to be a Navy SEAL. And once I got into boot camp, I realized that I didn't like people telling me what to do. So my first, 6 or 7 years, I was a little more on the renegade side. I didn't get promoted well. But while I was stationed with the Marines at Camp Pendleton, I became a corpsman after a while. Did not go to SEAL training initially. But then while I was at Camp Pendleton, I met a man who invited me to church a number of times. Didn't really like the guy, but he kept pestering me, and eventually I went to church. I'd really never put my foot in the door of church much. I think I went one time when I was a kid because they gave me a nickel. So this guy said they'd give me some money when I was 5. I went to church. So I had no clue, honestly, of who Christ was or what God was. Really had no clue. Friend of mine invited me to church, and he finally got to the point where he said, listen, you can come barefoot in cutoffs, and you don't have to worry about anything. So that was my first chance of getting into church. And from there, I read a little bit. I did become a Christian. And then this friend of mine who invited me to church, I actually was released from the Navy. They didn't quite kick me out, but they did very well. They waited until my re-enlistment, and then said, you're not allowed to stay in. You're out of here. So I went off on my own. My buddy, believe it or not, after talking with him for a long time, went through SEAL training in Coronado, California. He actually signed up, and it really irked me. So I came back to the Navy, asked for a waiver to be able to come back in so I could go through BUDS, which is Basic Underwater Demolition SEAL Training, which is kind of unique. Actually, I'm one of the – there were a group of guys that started off with UDT, Underwater Demolition Teams. Those were from the World Wars in Korea. We had the Frogmen, as most people know. And then John Kennedy created the SEAL Teams during – he established it. They'd already started doing things before then, but he established the SEAL teams in the early 60s. And so you had the UDT and SEAL teams. I was a member of both UDT from UDT 12 and then with SEAL Team 5 when the UDTs converted over to the SEAL teams. So anyway, my friend joined up and went through BUDS, and that caused me to come back in. And spent a number of years with the teams, about 8, traveling back and forth and doing various duty stations. Again, I was a corpsman, which is neat. Yesterday was the Corps birthday. And just a real honor. And it's neat how the how God had orchestrated my career, you know, from being, I think when I got kicked out of the Navy, you know, they always say you're a 4-0 sailor. That means you got, you're squared away, you get the 4 points. Well, I was a 2-0 sailor when they kicked me out. And then I came back and went with the SEAL teams, and I fit very well because of my renegade style and the fact that no matter what it was, I could do it. So I really did. I fit very well, went through through training. We had 52 of us start out of 500 that tried out for the program. 52 started, and out of the 52, five of us that originally started my class graduated. So
that's I think that's the normal loss rate, is it not? That there's so few, and it I understand also that it's not physical, it's more mental than it is physical, is it not?
Absolutely, yeah. The I think it's right around 1% who try out for the program make it through. Usually 10% of each class gets through, and without a doubt, it's mental. As a matter of fact, I talk to a lot of folks. Usually, the guys that are in training, when they quit, it usually is before an actual event. You know, we have a number. I'd say about half usually fail because of some physical issue that they might have gone through. You know, if they blow their eardrums out too often or break a leg, obviously they're out of the program. But usually if it's physical, they have a chance to come back in. So we had five of us from the original class graduate, and then they brought in another six from previous classes that had some physical damage, a broken leg. Had one guy with his foot nearly entirely cut off, who came back and graduated with our class. So,
wow.
Yep. Very standard.
Very good. As far as the book, The Ask Force, Gene and I both read that, and it's a fascinating book. Kind of bring us into how did that all come to being, and how did that now, having been through all of the military experiences, whatever, now you've retired, bring us into to today's world, if you would.
Okay. Yeah, so a little bit over a year ago, I had been working with men's groups for a number of years. We had a men's breakfast, and throughout the men's breakfast, I would always refer back to Jesus's ask, seek, and knock principle. That's what the ask force is. And it always amazes me. You look it up in the Greek, or you look, you know, in American, A-S-K, ask, seek, and knock. And I find that most American men really don't know what they're looking to do in life. So I would constantly go through this process, and I finally came to a point where I realized I need to do something about it. I need to write something about it. And I had written a book earlier that was somewhat of a young teen novel that's still out there published, called The Shepherd's Sword. So I realized, well, I like writing. I'm going to go ahead and write a book about this and use some of my SEAL stories as a way to kind of bring people in to read to improve their lives. The biggest thing is, you know, I'm not out to just sell books. I really want to make a difference in the lives of Americans, because many of us have lost our direction. You know, we don't have that vision, and as scripture says, without vision my people perish.
The problem today is there's so many people that don't have direction. We've spoken previously off air about the country and so forth, and where we are with the population and the apathy that exists. I think this is really wonderful. We're going to take a break in a minute or so, but the fact that you had a difficult time in your early years, and you came to being a responsible individual, you came to the Lord, and you've now moved on, and you want to now bring something back to the people of today and say, hey, I've made it through there, and if you focus on this, you can actually do it on your own and go from there. So we're going to take a break, but we'll be back on the other side and continue the conversation.
Hello, this is Paul Fisher, headmaster of Coventry Christian School in Pottstown.
I am so pleased that WFYL is a growing part of our community, serving as a voice of reason and a defender of and proponent for all that has made and will make America a great nation. There simply are not enough competing voices and ideas in the media, and we are proud to partner with WFYL in working for your liberty and things that truly matter. Advertising on WFYL has served us well and opened doors of opportunity for expanding our mission in classical Christian education, and the good people at the station have been so kind to help us network as well. I hope you will faithfully tune in to WFYL, share this station with others, and consider how a partnership with your organization or business could strengthen our community and build a stronger America.
Stand in the Gap Weekend with Sam Rohr and Gary Dull of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network features a message from one of the nearly 3,000 church leaders that are members of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. The mission is to build a permanent network of pastors across the state that are dedicated to affirming the authority of Scripture and taking seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Every day, we're working to impact the nation's values by encouraging pastors to lead their churches in addressing today's toughest issues, including the deterioration of traditional marriage, pornography, sexual permissiveness, and abortion. You're invited to join us in the battle for truth.
Airing Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and streaming Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. on our website, 1180wfyl.com.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America. You're listening to WFYL 1180, working for your liberty and things that matter. Thanks for listening.
My name is Nancy Becker, and I am your Recorder of Deeds here in Montgomery County. It's very important for the veterans to be aware that they should record their DD-214 or military discharge in the Recorder of Deeds office. This is important because when a veteran passes, the funeral director will usually contact the Recorder of Deeds office so that they can arrange for a military funeral. And this relieves the burden of family members of trying to find this very important document. But the most important reason is that we are now issuing a veteran's photo ID card that entitles the veterans to discounts and incentives from nearly 400 businesses here in Montgomery County. All the veteran has to do is come into the Recorder of Deeds office at 1 Montgomery Plaza in Norristown. Parking is always free for our veterans. You just come into the parking garage and tell them you're a veteran and you can park free of charge. Bring along your DD-214 and a photo ID. We'll issue you the veteran's photo ID, give you a list of the businesses that are participating. Takes about 10-15 minutes at the most, and this way you will be receiving these discounts. The incentive for the business to do this is we advertise your business free of charge. My website gets about 1,000 hits a week, so the potential for over 1,000 people of seeing your business is there. Also, every veteran gets a list of all the businesses participating. They get it when they come into the office, and we email them to them every 3 to 4 weeks so that the veteran is aware of the new businesses we have. Veterans of Montgomery County, please come into our office. It would be my honor to shake your hand and thank you for your service to our country.
Welcome back to Raise the Standard. I'm Michael Rapp in studio with my wife, Jean. We're from Brandywine Flags and the Marchwood Shopping Center in Exton. And on the phone line, we have Lieutenant Daniel Wilson, Navy SEAL retired. And Dan has written the book called The Ask Force, and we were talking a bit about it earlier in the first segment. Dan, tell us, what are the actual principles at work as far as the ask principles?
Okay, well... First, let me tell you a little bit about how I got to the point of using that. Again, it's Jesus' ask, seek, and knock principle, and I'll read that scripture to you in a few seconds. But the idea that we as Americans, if we don't have vision, we really have no direction where we need to go. I like it that, you know, David quoted that God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, or maybe vice versa, but that we need to be going in a direction, and very few of us have that direction. So when Jesus said, and this is what he says out of Matthew 7:7-8, he says, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be open." So I just took the ask, seek, and knock, and obviously the letters spell ask, and that's where I came up with the principle and the idea for the book. And I find it's a force. So I like the idea of ask force. It's almost like task force, which is a military idea. it kind of flowed well. But anyway, in the beginning of my book, I love this quote that I had heard at one time from Dr. Holmes. He says, "Never tell a young person that something cannot be done. God may have been waiting centuries for somebody ignorant enough to do that very thing." And it's kind of neat. I feel like I was that ignorant guy who I actually failed, I believe, almost every English course I took when I was a kid. Quit high school at 15 and really kind of left permanently at 16. Joined the Navy at 17. And one of the things, you take your ASVAB test, the test that kind of places you. It's a placement test within the military. And my lowest scores were in administration and writing. They said, "Those are the areas you cannot go into." So, you know, it's not on our strength. Sometimes God uses the weak to show his strength, and honestly, writing is one of my, as a matter of fact, my bride Robin will tell you, writing is one of my weakest points. I use commas everywhere because to me everything has a reason. If you're going to say it with a point, so I put commas everywhere in my writing.
See, I don't use commas. I just figure it just slows you down.
You're a real warrior, see? That's the difference. So anyway, the ask, seek, and knock, and the ask is very critical. What we don't have, and as a matter of fact, I'll go into this in a little bit on some of the other books that are coming out. I actually have a series I call the Ask series that'll be coming out. But the ask, we need to know what we want, and I believe God places in every person a desire. He puts a seed in there that basically Jesus says, "Hey, you know, if you don't have because you don't ask." That's what Scripture says. You don't have because you don't ask. You know, back in the 60s, the big thing is the question was why? Why am I here? What is my purpose? And that's really what the ask entails. Finding out, okay, what is my purpose? Now, that doesn't mean you stop, put everything off to the side, and try to figure out what your purpose is as you move through life, as God did with me. You know, here I joined the Navy early to be a SEAL. I don't become a SEAL, but actually I don't even go through SEAL training because the way I look at it now, looking back, I was too immature to actually make it through SEAL training. I would have been one of those drop-on requests, the guys that I wouldn't even have made it to the first week of SEAL training.
You would have had to ring the bell and put your hat there where everybody could see your name, right?
That's right. I'm always last because I'm a Wilson, you know, with a W, but I would have been the first guy to ring the bell. I can tell you that. And it goes back to Michael's question. You know, it's usually a mental issue. The why, my ask early on in my Navy career wasn't really strong enough. I didn't know what my vision or my need was. But when I actually went through BUDS and SEAL training, I'd had my wife at the time was pregnant. And I had orders. I actually had them stapled to my service record that sent me with the Marines, 3rd Marine Division, to Okinawa, unaccompanied. And now I had a reason. I had something that said, you can't quit. And you know, you can't tell by the cover of the book, but I'm 6'2". I'm fairly clunky. I'm slow. I did not make a great SEAL. Most SEALs are fairly... Chris Kyle's kind of an exception. He's a macho guy. But I was not really the best heel. I wasn't really a natural warrior or anything. I just liked the idea that I could blow things up, shoot, and parachute. I mean, what greater life can a guy have than that? But
that's like Marcus Luttrell. I think that his brother Morgan came home one day and said, "Hey, I heard this program or this new thing in the Navy called the SEALs, and we'll be able to go out and swim and scuba dive and parachute and shoot stuff and blow stuff up, and we have about a 75% chance of getting killed." And Marcus says, "Great, sign me up."
that's exactly what brought me into to SEAL teams in the first place, actually. I was in Arkansas. I hitchhiked down there to get away from school and live with my grandparents. So the ask, you know, is something that we grow into. You've got to keep moving forward. God directs us. He doesn't always push us. He usually directs us as we go through. So what we do is we seek our ask. We seek the desires we have. So once we get the idea of, hey, this is what I'm supposed to do, it doesn't mean what I'm going to do forever. It doesn't mean exactly who I am, but this is kind of the direction I'm going to go in now. And then the next part would be the seek. And in the seek process, that's where God actually builds us up into a person capable of accomplishing what we've asked for. And this is where most people quit. So you had said earlier, you know, it was a mental game. When you go through BUDS, the reason that we have 90% of the people that actually start BUDS training quit is because their ask wasn't strong enough and they didn't have what it took to get through that process of seeking. When the challenges came, instead of using the challenges to become better, they used the challenges as an excuse to quit. And you'll find that most Americans, we tend to get that way. America gets that way. You know, when you become comfortable and challenges come, that's when we give up on our vision. So the seek process is very, very important. And then the third component of it is the knock principle. So as we seek trying to get there, eventually we come to the door, and that seek process builds us up to the point where when we knock on the door, we're capable of it. You know, if you're looking to ask a girl to the prom, you know, at least in my case, I would have freaked out because I know there's a father on the other side of the door cleaning his gun, trying to, you know, who's going to say, okay, you want to take my daughter out? You will have her back here. So I would knock a certain way on that door. If I'm a politician, I'd knock a different way. If I'm a Navy SEAL and Bin Laden's on the other side of the door, I'm going to knock with enough force that I stun whatever is on the other side, because the knock principle is what takes me through the threshold to the next purpose that God is calling me to. Sometimes that next purpose is dangerous.
Absolutely. Now, as you go through life and using this ask principle, I guess, does it get any easier? And are you a little more comfortable with the ask, seek, and knock, or is it always an adventure?
I think life is always an adventure. That's a perfect question, because that's just reality. And it's easy for us to forget the times that we had succeeded before. Believe it or not, it's not. It gets somewhat easier because you tend to know the principles and it becomes a habit. You know, quitting is a habit. Before
right.
I, believe it or not, before I joined BUDS, before I actually went to BUDS, so I quit school, I quit sports teams, I quit everything I'd ever done. I had a chance to actually play minor league baseball, and I was afraid to fail. So before I failed, I would quit. That was my habit. But once I made it through BUDS, I realized, you know what, I'm not a quitter. As a matter of fact, my kids, they always say the same thing. They say the Wilson motto is, we never quit, never give up, never surrender, you know.
And that's new to the mix, because prior to, you did give up. And this now was a life-changing event going through SEAL training that you've now changed the entire approach, and it's now impacted your family that they will never give up.
That is exactly right, and that's something that I share off with everyone. So So, yeah, the adventure is always there because what we do is it's almost like going upstairs. The next adventure is an area that we generally don't know anything about, but if you have that habit, that once you've experienced a little bit, when you have the habit of succeeding going through it, you find that you will make it through whatever the cost, whatever the challenge.
I have a motto now where that I will say that, you know, God's got me through this to this point, and he's not going to let me down now.
You know, Gene, that's exactly right. One of the things in the unique process is that you have those challenges, but throughout Scripture we find that God continually proved himself even through our weaknesses. That's where it's a proof that God is who he is, and we are just really going through the process of the ask, seek, and knock, but he promises he'll be there throughout each one of those steps that we take.
Exactly. We're going to take a break now, and we'll be back on the other side and continue the conversation.
Hi, everybody. Phil Valentine here. It's great to be back on the air in Philly, and especially when my show is being broadcast from the Cradle of Liberty, Valley Forge area, home of freedom-loving patriots both in times past and today, right here on WFYL 1180 AM.
One, two, three.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gossett, inviting you to join me for Backstage Jazz. I'll spend an hour each week taking you behind the music and into the lives of America's top jazz musicians. Experience live jazz music and connect with the artists through backstage interviews. Join us right here for this season of Backstage Jazz. Broadcasting Saturday afternoon at 4 and streaming Sunday night at 6 on WFYL.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
If you like Car Talk, catch Under the Hood, Saturday and Sunday mornings from 6 to 7, exclusively streaming on 1180WFYL.com, worldwide on your computer or mobile device. Stream Under the Hood this Saturday morning from 6 to 7 at 1180WFYL.com or on your favorite mobile device. Go to our website at 1180WFYL.com to find out more.
Hi friends, Janet Parshall here, host of In the Market with Janet Parshall. I'm excited about partnering with 1180 AM WFYL to bring you a fast-paced conversation every Sunday. As you listen to In the Market, we'll examine major news stories and issues, equipping you to be bold when voicing truth in a confused and chaotic culture. I look forward to engaging my new friends at 1180 AM WFYL every Sunday at 12:05 p.m. on In the Market.
Hey, everybody, this is Laura Ingram. Thanks for listening to my show and the other great programs carried live on WFYL 1180 AM, broadcasting from the historic Cradle of Liberty area, Valley Forge and Philadelphia.
Welcome back to Raise the Standard. I'm Michael Rapp in studio with my wife, Jean. We're from Brandywine Flags, Marchwood Shopping Center in Exton. And on the phone, we have Lieutenant Daniel Wilson, Navy SEAL retired, and we were talking about his book, The Ask Force. Dan, what do you have on the future for the Ask series, if you would, please?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you, Michael. I have taken the Ask Force, and as I have gone through the process of identifying the ask, seek, and knock principle, one of the components of that is that I've been challenged throughout it to do something a little bit more. It's kind of taken me, as I was mentioning before, the seek process that I went on in the book. Well, I'm going through that as well as I've written. So at the end of the Ask Course, I actually gave a little insight on what I had planned to be the next book, which would have been Ask for Success. The intent being that I interviewed 20 successful people that some people may know. A good example would be Captain Chris Cassidy, who was a young Navy SEAL in Afghanistan and Iraq, and he went on to become an astronaut. So here's a Navy SEAL who's become an astronaut, and the first time I had a chance to meet him, I was at the SEAL reunion in Little Creek, Virginia, and we did a Skype with him. So here, you know, we're in an audience having breakfast, and we're Skyping with the space station where Chris Cassidy is floating around, and you know, it's kind of neat. He throws his trident. That's the emblem that the SEALs use, and he kind of has it in his hand, and he kind of points it and lets it go, and it floats towards the camera. So the first time I had a chance to meet Chris was while he was on the space station just before he did a spacewalk. So that was going to be the Ask for Success, 20 different individuals who become successful using the Ask, Seek, and Knock principle. But as I went through, and I've been doing book signings and I've been doing speeches here and there, it's interesting. I get the same question over and over and over from especially the younger men that are out there, which is, I don't know what to ask for. That's a continual question that came up. What should I ask for? I don't know what that seed is that God has planted in my heart. So believe it or not, I put Ask for Success off to the side, and I said, well, I'm going to do the follow-on book, which would be Ask for Purpose. And Ask for Purpose is just that. What is my purpose? Which is really what we want to do when we do the ask. What is my purpose for next step? As Gene had alluded, you know, we go through the process, but we're not really sure what that next step is. Well, the ask principle takes you to that next step. What is my purpose? Am I supposed to go here, or there when we come to a fork in the road? So I started writing through Ask for Purpose. I got about halfway through writing the book and realized that I was really leaning towards the political side because of the state of our nation right now. And so halfway through Ask for Purpose, which I had preempted Ask for Success with, I realized I needed to write something different, something that was an emergent item. God had directed my ask to something a little more apropos for the moment, which is Ask America. So that's the book that I'm writing. As a matter of fact, I just finished it. I'm re-reviewing my final chapter as we speak, and it's called Ask America. And it's completely on the challenges and the opportunities we have in America. As we know, America is under assault, both from foreign and domestic enemies, period. We have a number of folks within our nation that want to see the demise of America, and we have, obviously, ISIL and ISIS, the radical Islamists who want to destroy anything having to do with freedom and the Western world, which America is really the leader in that challenge. So I should be finishing that book up here within a month or so. As a matter of fact, we're putting an Indigo campaign out within the next week or so in promotion of it and to finish up the publication. My plan is to have it on the streets before September, and that'll give a good year of explaining what America needs to do to rescue the world. Because I was in Germany a couple years ago, and it's really interesting. There was, we were there over the Christmas holiday, and there was no festivity, no joy. The Germans were very sad, and there were no lights. There was just nothing going on. So I asked this maid, I said, why is that? You know, she was working in our hotel, and she knew English well enough. And she said, you know, Germans are fearful. They're afraid that the world is going to crumble, she said this. This is the biggest quote I've heard in a long time. She goes, "We're afraid that if America catches cold, the world will catch pneumonia."
Wow, that's profound.
I'll tell you, it changed the way I think about things right now, and that is an absolute truth. So Ask America is what I'm looking at now. You know, we've been through wars. We've had our revolution. We had our civil war. We've had world wars. We've had conflicts continually. We're constantly defending the freedoms and the four cornerstones of our nation. Those four cornerstones, if you look at our Declaration of Independence, it says the Creator. We're endowed by our Creator. So God is the first cornerstone. We have turned away, and there is an attack on God, as we see even in our military with Commander Wes Motter, who is a chaplain for the SEALs, a chaplain with the Marines. He is being challenged, and actually he was removed from his service, and they're actually trying to kick him out of the military because his stance, not against homosexuality, but for the truths of the Bible. Even within our military, there are those that are attempting to remove our religious freedom. So the four cornerstones of our nation are God, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those are the four cornerstones. So in Ask America, I'm proposing that we bring America back to those four cornerstones. If we do not do that, America will catch cold, and the world will catch pneumonia.
Boy, it sounds like this book is very timely, considering the challenges that America and the rest of the world are facing today. I think people need to know, sounds like what you're saying with this book is you're going to hopefully tell people what they can do and what they should be doing to get America back.
So it's almost, that's my intent. It's almost like a prophecy on your end to say, this is real stuff, guys. Pay attention.
I would hope so. Actually, I was going to say, so what really brought me into this whole mode was reading Abraham Lincoln's prophecy, as you will. I like that statement. In January of 1938, Abraham Lincoln basically laid out the truth. He said, "Shall we expect some transatlantic military giant to step the ocean and crush us at a blow?" He says, "Never. All the armies of Europe, Asia, Africa combined, with all the treasures of the earth, our own excepted, in the military chest, with a Bonaparte as a commander, could not by force take a drink from the Ohio or make a track on the Blue Ridge in a trail of 1,000 years. At what point, then, is the approach of danger to be expected?" And Abraham Lincoln says this, "I answer, if it ever reach us, it must spring up amongst us. It cannot come from abroad. If destruction is our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. As a nation of free men, we must live through all time or die by suicide." I believe that's where America is at right now.
Wow, what a prophecy.
That's incredible. How true is that today? That we are in that situation where we are imploding and we are fighting amongst ourselves to the point of almost self-destruction. We're going to take a break in a minute, and we'll be back on the other side to continue the conversation.
The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 6:10 to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might so we can stand in the evil day. Let me ask you, are you standing strong in the Lord and in the power of His might? Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network and the American Pastors Network, agreeing with the Apostle Paul that when the days are evil, we need God's armor. To modern culture, right is wrong and wrong is right. Good is evil and evil is good. The war against God, the truth, and God's people was started by the devil and is in full swing. The Bible tells us that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will be targeted and will suffer persecution in the spiritual war. So what must we do? Put on the whole armor of God. Imagine, God designed armor to help us in the spiritual battle and available to us. In the next few weeks, we'll look at this armor of God and what it's for and why we'd better put it on. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking you, did you put on God's armor today? Are you even in the battle?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people, didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Where to be found? Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
Not. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library!
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Welcome back to Raise the Standard. I'm Michael Rapp in studio with my wife, Jean. We're from Brandywine Flags and the Marchwood Shopping Center in Exton. And on the phone, we have Lieutenant Daniel Wilson, Navy SEAL retired. And he's been talking about his book, The Ask Force, and about the principles of The Ask Force and new series coming up and so forth. But Dan, I know that we have some challenges in the future. We were talking about that off air just a second ago. Tell about the challenges that you see that face us as a nation.
Yeah, we definitely have challenges. And it's interesting how God has given me an opportunity to write first about the ask principle. You know, Jesus really had a plan. We will continue to learn new aspects of the heavenly realm through Scripture for eternity. I like what John said. You know, if all the books in the world, if we could write forever, we'd never really fully capture everything that Jesus did, said, or meant to say to us. But he reveals certain things at times. So I just hope that my Ask series works through. And as mentioned, the next book that I'm writing, I'm finishing it up hopefully this week, is Ask America. And I believe this is where God brought me to, at least, in my presentation of what the Ask Force is and what we're supposed to be doing now. We have challenges, as I'd mentioned earlier, both domestically and foreign. Abraham Lincoln was talking about us. Our death in America would come from suicide. It's a sad state, but we're almost to that point now. We have implosions. You know, we're having challenges. They're trying to remove our religious freedom. Obviously, our Second Amendment rights to carry weapons, you know, it's so impossible to buy ammo. I go to, Bass Pro and other places looking for just 22 rounds and you can't find them. So we have an internal struggle there are those that want to remove the freedom, and the best way to do that is remove God, the four cornerstones. The first thing you do, you remove God. The second thing you remove is life.
Go.
If you look at history, all the Holocausts since Armenia, which was just a little bit over 100 years ago, in America, we have aborted more humans than all of the Holocausts. That's an atrocity. And in God's opinion, you know, if you look back at Scripture, one of the things that God challenges the Israelites with is following Molech or some, I think that's how you say it, I'm not really sure. But basically, he was a god of fertility, and they would sacrifice their young. God said, don't do that, otherwise you're toast. That's our second cornerstone, is life. We are against life in America. We're against freedom. The third cornerstone would be freedom. The freedom of religion, freedom in general, but one of the things that we have attacking that is obviously sexual perversion. Sexual perversion basically it enchains you. It pulls you in, and it's huge. Our media really presses on it. So we have people that are talking, you know, I'm not a girl today, I'm a guy. I was listening to Rush Limbaugh yesterday, and it was just a hoot. Some guy came on, and he went down through every, I am this, 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 and this, but the reality is he's just not any of them. But we have a challenge to what liberty is. We're being enchained by all these lies that are coming into our nation. And when you lose those three cornerstones, that fourth cornerstone, which is the ability to pursue happiness, you can't pursue it. When a chaplain can't speak on the truth of the Bible, you no longer can pursue happiness. When businesses aren't allowed to do what's right, you know, you can't say, okay, I'm not going to bake a cake for you today because you promote something that my religion disagrees with. That's removing that ability to pursue happiness. So those four cornerstones are being challenged. But along with the challenge, just as Raise the Standard is on the radio, we have a number of people being called to the battle. And this is historically what happens. When the challenges come, God raises up people like Gideon. He raises up people like Samuel. He brings those people to make a difference in the world. And it's interesting, my kids and I, my family, we went and watched the last Avengers movie. You watch those movies, they're blockbusters, and they're always about overcoming unseemingly impossible odds to save the world. We have an entire generation being raised to fight those that want to take away our freedom. We don't see it. The media is our biggest thing. In Ask America, the first thing that I talk about is communication. When you want to attack an enemy, the first thing you want to do is remove their ability to communicate. That's really what's happening in America. The media is showing us all the bad press and everything bad, and it's really kind of making us imploded. Makes us lose heart. You know, Michael, you'd asked earlier, is it because a mental issue or is it physical? When you're going through SEAL training, it's the mental challenges, the fear of what's going to happen that causes people to quit. Well, that's the same thing the media does. They put all this minutia out that basically confuses those that would become champions. So, we have some great deals. Changes to America are happening. We have a phenomenal group of men and women running for the presidency. We have Cruz, you know, who is a first-generation American from a communist dictator down in Cuba coming in. We have Ben Carson, a neurosurgeon who grew up basically in the inner cities and became just a great man. We have Bobby Jindal. We have Scott Walker. We have some wonderful people that are looking to change America and bring us back to our four founding cornerstones. So hope is not lost. We have opportunities before us. Matter of fact, I'm speaking July 4th over at at Gettysburg at the Peace Light Memorial with Reverend Manning. Dr. Manning is doing a group called Reconciliation of the Races, and they're busing people in from all over the country, especially inner city people. And the idea is that there is, it's not a black and white thing. It's not race at all. What it is it's a good and evil thing. It's a right and wrong thing. And Dr. Manning's doing that. So I'm being invited in to do a few minute speech on the 4th in Gettysburg. But we have hope. We have warriors that are waiting in the wings out there.
Yes, we do have an excellent stable of candidates for the Republican Party this time, and I hope that we're able to get one of the really good ones and make him president.
Yeah, it's the conservative. It's not even what party. It's the conservative view of America is what we need. And we are a conservative nation, I think, at heart. But we're afraid to speak out about it for whatever reason, and I don't understand that. We need to get people involved. We need to get them to pay attention. We found that at our store, Brandywine Flags, people that fly flags are different from other people, and we have a lot that come in that know that. So you're absolutely right on that.
People just need direction, and it sounds like what your book is going to give them.
And that's my hope, exactly. So on that note, one of the things I wanted to mention is you can reach out and grab a copy, either electronic or in a hard copy format, if you want to go to www.ask-force.com. So it's ask-force.com. And again, I have it on Kindle, Nook, and we can also ship off a signed copy to you in the mail.
Wonderful. Well, I read your book, the Ask Force book, and I have to tell you, I couldn't put it down. It was an excellent read. It was a quick read, and like I said, I just could not stop reading.
Well, thanks so much for that, Gina. That's really encouraging that you, you've read it, and I really do. My hope and my prayer is that it makes a difference. That's what I'm looking for out of the Ask series. And again, so the Ask Force was my first book that's in publication, and I'm working on Ask America. We should have an Indiegogo campaign to actually help me with publishing it and getting it into the field. Plus, it kind of helps get the word out a little bit ahead of time. It's one of the things we want to do with this is actually get it into the hands of people. We have about 16 months to make a difference in America and bring a godly man or woman into the White House to make things to really reverse the direction our nation is going in. So look for that Indiegogo. It's going to be again Ask America, and then next year I'll be coming out with Ask for Purpose, and then the intent behind that. A year following that, in 2017, we'll be coming out with Ask for Success. So that's really where we're going with everything. Again, 4th of July, I'll be over at the Peace Light Memorial in Gettysburg. If anybody wants to come along, I'll be selling books and also giving a real quick speech at Dr. Manning's event.
Wonderful. Well, I am certainly looking forward to reading your next book and then the two after that. Hopefully we can bring this country back, and that the next 16 months, as you said, we can all get to work and do what has to be done to stop this downward spiral that America seems to be in.
Yeah, Dan, thank you so much for being with us. To our listening audience, here's an example of an individual who had a difficult time in his early years. High school dropout at 15, left school completely at 16, enlisted in the Navy at 17, and now, with English being his worst subject, he's now the author of a book, and second book, and future books on the waiting. So
just shows what God can do with a person.
Right. If you just focus, like you say, ask for the purpose, ask for what it is that you want me to do, and then you seek it, you knock, and it will be available. So just get a glove, get in the game, and focus on this. So again, we thank you so much again, and we look forward to having you back. I'm going to say that we'll be back with you in the next several weeks. I'd like to have you come back and continue on to other subject matters and so forth that you have available to bring to our listening audience. So, again, thank you for listening to Raise the Standard, and we'll see you again next week.
You're listening to WFYL 1180, working for your liberty and things that matter. Thanks for listening.